It's all the same.
Yeah, D-Rod built this. There's a stack of basically like knockoff LaCroix.
That's what that is?
Yeah.
Cascade, it's just like
cheaper LaCroix.
Is this Aldi LaCroix?
Pretty much. Like, and then we also have this one. We love LaCroix. I say we, like, we're like, yeah, we just live together, but like,
yeah,
we together love LaCroix. So anyways, he bought this, like, he literally bought it and was like, ah, oh, I just love the flavor of this. It's like, you know, he was reminded of like these like popsicles he got when he was a kid. So okay. He was like, I love the flavor of this. So in memory of that, he like stacked a pyramid of cans up. They're on our mantle for about a week.
Okay.
Then he cleaned the mantle, so he restacked them on our coffee table.
Right.
Clean the coffee table, so they restacked them on our kitchen table. So they just moved around.
He needs to go ahead and just kind of hot glue the cans together so you could just move the whole pyramid at one time.
Yeah.
It's organic raspberry lemonade. Sparkling water.
And it's right next to my vase of flowers.
Where'd you get those flowers? This is the only, this is the only like bachelor pad that has like fresh flowers in a vase.
Yeah, it's the...
on the island.
That's the second set that's been in the past month. I just keep coming home and there's new flowers in the vase.
Wow.
That's awesome. If you really knew me, you would know that is ideal for me.
Just fresh flowers in your house.
Usually guys buy their girlfriends flowers, but mine buys me flowers.
In this case, your girlfriend buys you flowers.
Yes, and I'm very thankful for it.
Is it a variety of flowers or is it always these every time?
No, the first thing was when we got home from Spain. I just came home to a bouquet of flowers, which was very kind, and it was a variety of them.
And you felt very known and everything.
Yeah, there were daisies and daylilies and all kinds of awesome things.
Right.
And then this one, I'm just here. They look kind of like, I don't know, maybe like zinnias or something like that.
Yeah, they look like zinnias.
Like yellow zinnias.
This is unstoppably adorable.
I know, it's awesome.
The smile on your face is enormous.
I love flowers.
It's almost as big as this pyramid of knockoff LaCroix cans.
Right. Our whatever is going on in our kitchen is.
I love that D-Rod just keeps stacking these up, moving them around the house.
I don't know what he's trying to get out of it.
It's fantastic. Folks, welcome back to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast. And Thomas and I are back doing kind of our little midweek meditation where we kind of check in on our things that we're getting out of the scriptures and sharing them with you, hoping to encourage you in your walk and in your week. And do you want to go first today, or should I?
Sure, I would love to go first.
Carry on, dude.
This is super cool. I just finished Isaiah recently, but I had to go back a little bit. And for some reason, when I remembered there being 66 chapters in Isaiah.
Right.
But for some reason, it threw me off. Like, I was like, why would they end it with 2 sixes? I don't know. It was so weird. I was like, whoa, isn't this the Bible? Like, it was so weird.
I think 3 sixes is the bad number.
Okay.
So
one time I bought something at McDonald's and it was $6.66, and the lady just stared at me and she was like, buy something else. And I was like, what? She was like, buy something else right now.
Really?
Like, yeah. And then I was like, what are you talking about? So she just like decreased it by a penny.
Wow. How does... She has the power to just take a penny off of the cost?
She did. She was freaking out. I was like,
wow.
Whoa. Okay. Anyways.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I saw this and like, for some reason, this verse, like, it just like took me back to this song I used to know when I was like, I don't know, like fifth grade or something.
Right.
Like a Christian song that I knew. I don't know. And it wasn't like it, at first it was like a bad nostalgia thing. Is there bad nostalgia? I don't know. It's probably not.
Actually, nostalgia is, it actually, it's a Greek compound word, and it means, it's two words, one that means going home and one that means pain.
Okay. So this,
it means the pain of going home. The actual word really denotes kind of like a bad thing.
Well, this was nostalgia then.
Okay.
So, but then I thought about it more.
I think we've kind of culturally changed the meaning of the actual meaning of the word, but yeah, it's really supposed to be a bad thing.
So anyways, this is from Isaiah 64 verse 8. It says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So I thought of that. There's like a song that I learned, and it was like, you are the potter. I am the clay. I'm not even singing it right. Mold me and knead me. This is what I say. And like, change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. I don't know. I just, like, shriveled up because I was like, ugh, I just thought of this song from when I was a kid. Like, I don't like it.
Took you back to a bad place?
Yeah, just, yeah. I smelled the Sunday school room I was in when I first heard, you know, like.
We can all remember what our Sunday school room smelled
like. Yeah, it smelled like 1982 blue carpet, you know, like, that's just what it smelled like.
And, like, Goodwill.
Yeah, that's honestly what it smells like. And
no offense to our friend Julie Gibbons.
Yeah, whose dad is.
His dad was the CEO of Goodwill.
And also, I get all my clothes at Goodwill, so, you know. But I initially had the shock of, well, I don't like thinking of God as a potter, you know. I don't.
Yeah.
Just not because it's not a cool subject, but a cool idea. It's just because it took me to a place where I was like, whoa, cringy, like. I thought that was just some cheesy made up Christian thing. And then I read it and I was like,
they got it from somewhere.
Oh wait, it's in there. Yeah. It's in there. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, I got taken back to doing pottery and high school. And it was, you start with this lump of gray stuff that looks terrible and like a bowl of water. And then your teacher's like,
I'm at it.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I am not creative. You know, like I'm not artistically creative very well. Like there's some paintings around our house that I've done and it's literally because I Google imaged something and then just copied it. You know, like
the paintings are good, man.
Yeah. But it's just not my thing. You know, like I don't practice it. It's not my thing. You're fantastic at it and you love it. But for me, when I have a lump of gray clay in my hand, there's nowhere it's going to go besides a bowl, you know, like, or a coffee mug, you know, just like what's
like an ashtray, even though no one smokes anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No one smokes anymore. And like, no one enjoys a cigar every once in a while, but like, anyway, so I just don't have the creativity and the thought to do that. And then I thought of myself as a lump of clay and it says we are the work of his hand. And mm-hmm. I thought of you as a work of clay or what the Lord did with me as a lump of clay and made me who I am and how detailed and how complex I am and how all the little things that are about me and of who I am, like he kneaded in there and he like slipped and scored and like used water and like a knife to cut things together. Like,
right.
You know, it's a super abstract concept to think of myself that way, but it made me enjoy myself for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I'm not some, you know, maybe I started there. I don't know. But this is who he's molding me and kneading me into. You know, he's got an idea of who he wants me to be. And he's way more creative than me. So to put myself in the shoes of a potter and compare it to the Lord is like, you know, because there's that other line in there. It says, oh, Lord, you are our father. And sometimes when I hear that, I'm instantly taken to my father who, like, he's been a great dad.
Right.
He's, you know, we love each other. But I have a tendency to like put the reflection of my earthly father on a heavenly father who like my dad would even say, that's not fair, man. Like you need to step away. Like,
aim higher.
Yeah. Way higher. Right. So like when I thought of, when I went to a place of like, man, if I was a potter, I would create the dullest, most boring thing, you know, like, I would have this lump of clay and I would just turn it to a bigger lump of clay. But that's not who he is.
With a slight indention.
That's right. There would just be a slight indention that may be porous. So like, don't eat cereal out of it. You know, like, milk's going to go everywhere. But that's not what he's doing with me.
Yeah.
And it was just such a, it was cool to replace myself because I really needed to in that instance.
One of my two best friends from when I was growing up, we had an art class together at Robertsville Junior High School and we did like a unit on pottery and he had this thing in mind that he wanted to make and it was like the biggest thing in the class. He was making a cookie jar, but he made it in the shape of a chicken and he made the chicken with like a costume with like a symbol on the chest, like Superman.
Nice.
And it was like SC. And it stood for Super Chicken. And he was like so excited about it. And it was like the funkiest looking chicken you've ever, chicken cookie jar you've ever seen in your life. And like, even like everybody was like, dude, that thing is ugly. And like, and he was like a good artist, but he was like, no way, this Super Chicken is the greatest thing that's being made in this class right now. He was super excited about it. Even our teacher made fun of it. Like, it was just a really funky looking chicken. And like he like fired it in the kiln and the whole thing, and like meticulously glazed it and then like re-kilned it, you know, like that whole deal. I mean, he's so excited about it. And then he like gave it to his mom for like Mother's Day. And I kid you not, like even to the day that we graduated high school, like Super Chicken was just representing in her kitchen. Like Super Chicken was just right there on the counter, you know, just like that's where the cookie stayed. Was in, which like I don't feel like anybody really has a cookie jar anymore.
My parents did until very recently, but they still do. It just stays under the counter now.
Okay. Does it have like, cookies in it?
It usually has Ritz crackers.
Oh, okay.
It's a cracker jar.
The cracker jar. Okay. But I feel like...
You were going somewhere.
Yeah. In any case, like, the thing that I loved about this was that the idea that, like, no matter how anybody else felt about it, Keith loved Super Chicken. Hmm. He loved it so much. In fact, like, on other projects we did throughout the year, he kept doing, like, when we did oil painting, he, like, painted Super Chicken That's again. Amazing. Like, and he just kept going. Like, he just loved it. And I love that because to kind of take your analogy further, it's like there are people that don't like certain things about me, but the one who formed me, the one who had the idea of me, he loves me this way. He loves me the way I am. Even when I don't appreciate certain things about myself, like the one who had the idea of me, like he put me together this way on purpose. He formed me this way on purpose. And even if other people think it's like funky and out of place and, you know, whatever, he doesn't. He's super into, you know, me being the person that I am.
That's awesome. I just remembered something in the middle of that.
What?
I just remembered that Julie texted us the other day and I never responded to it. I'm the worst.
So this episode has been brought to you by Julie Gibbons, who ran the...
so much by Julie Gibbons.
Who ran the Young Life Expeditions team when we were in Spain at Joventura. And so, way to go, Julie. Yeah, you have any other thoughts on this?
I thought of the same thing. Like my, yeah, I had this like terrible, like it was just an example of how terrible I was at art. Like I was supposed to make a bowl and I ended up making a vase that was like when we fired it in the kiln and we were allowed to paint it afterwards. This is in elementary school and it was yellow, blue and green. And it looks like if anyone out there is a SpongeBob fan, like the background buildings in SpongeBob's are like, they're like crooked. Like they like, they do like a 45 degree angle. Like if you're like looking in the background of SpongeBob, there's these paintings, there's like these buildings and that's, you know, that's what I came up with. So like, yeah, I just the idea that I can't personify God in the sense that he's the same artist as I am, because if he was, I would be a disaster. You know, like if I was in charge of creating myself, it wouldn't be good.
That's a good word.
You know, if I was in charge of being the potter of my life,
yeah,
it doesn't go well when I do, you know, like there's a 45 degree angle in it and it's supposed to be a pole and it's a vase. So
yeah. I got this actually out of, this is from Job chapter 30.
Nice.
And I actually got this out of a book that I'm reading.
What's it called?
The Gospel According to Job.
By Mike Mason.
Yeah. Mike Mason. I just loved this so much. And so I wanted to talk about it. But in Job chapter 30, Job is like, he's basically ranting to the Lord. And
is this the first time he really starts ranting? Because he's pretty, Job's a book who like, I think, like not a lot of people read, and it's fantastic, you know, and it's just kind of,
yeah, it's fantastic and mysterious and difficult to understand. And this, no, it's kind of like his rants are cyclical, you know, and he kind of like, every time he comes back around to it, it's like his grip on his faith is strong and his upsetness is strong. His confusion is strong and his, you know, and he's expressing it all honestly. And he says this thing. He's basically talking about his depression in Job chapter 30. And he gets to a place where he says, "With a strong hand, God grabs my shirt. He grips me by the collar of my coat. He has thrown me into the mud. I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. I call to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look." This is like... I mean, this is a desperate thing to say, but the thing that I love about this so much is that I think that one of the things that a lot of us are looking for a lot of times is like, you know, kind of a feel-good version of my relationship with the Lord. I want to be encouraged. I want to read happy verses. I want to read about mm-hmm. the grace and the love that I have and all that kind of stuff and with Him. And I think that's all right. It's all good. And at the same time, it doesn't always track with all of our experiences. And so to have somebody that clearly had such a strong faith just say, like, I'll tell you what our relationship feels like. Mm. It feels like we're in a wrestling match. And it feels like you've grabbed my clothes up around my neck and you've thrown me down into the mud. And, you know, and it's not that I'm particularly going through a season like that right now, but I have had a couple of days recently where I've felt like, dude, you have to change this. You have to do something different than what we're in right now. Mm. And it does feel like a bit of a wrestling match. I feel constrained. I feel frustrated, and I feel and it's good to know that there was another saint that felt that way.
Right.
That I can just say that, you know, because this is a dude that's holding on to his faith in the Lord with everything. And at the same time that I feel like I've had times recently where I've really connected with the Lord in worship, where I've really felt like the scriptures are speaking to me, where I really felt the Lord's presence in certain things. At the same time, I know how this feels too. Mm-hmm. And it feels good to know that, like, one, that the Bible is this honest book.
Right.
That that the Lord has made sure that in the book that His people, that He's in the book that He has preserved for His people to figure out what it means to know Him and what it means to come to Him, that we see somebody saying, you know what, sometimes it feels like a wrestling match and you've grabbed me by the coat and thrown me into the mud. That's what it feels like sometimes. And I'm calling out and I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say. Mm. I'm not saying that that's what it always feels like, but I do think that there are times where it feels like the version that we can get from certain things that we look at is it's just all awesome all the time. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And to see a guy say, yeah, sometimes it's a wrestling match and I'm getting my butt handed to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels good to read somebody saying that.
Yeah. It super feels good because I think a lot of times as followers of Jesus, we feel like we have to have our best game face painted on at all times. We have
right.
to, everything has to be, everything has to be perfect all the time for everyone we're witnessing to or whatever, you know, like
yeah.
you have to be, you better be buttoned up and ready to go. And if you're not, then like, what's wrong with you? You know?
Yeah.
And like you're saying, this is an honest book, you know, like,
right.
I just read Psalm 13 the other day and I think we even talked about in here before.
Cause yeah.
there's the beginning part of it where he's literally like, will you forget me forever to
right.
God? You know, like,
yeah.
hello, you've forgotten me. Are you going to yeah. do it forever? And, you know, we've both talked about how much we love David because he is super honest, but it sets me free to feel like I can say those things because I do think, like, I bet a lot of us who have grown up in churches or even people who are new to the faith who are just now going to church or whatever have always heard a very similar prayer of, like, when someone's prayed out loud, like, the way you're taught to pray is, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We just thank you for all the things. And we just thank you for this and, you know, whatever, which are all great things to say.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great attitude to have in prayer. The Bible tells us so much to be thankful, be thankful, be thankful.
Yeah.
Be prayerful always, you know, like all kinds of all the stuff. And then, but I think it can falsely put in our head that like, well, if we're feeling anything else, we just got to pretend like we don't.
Yeah.
You know, if I feel like the Lord is distant from me right now, I just got to pretend like I don't, you know?
Well, and what this guy's describing is such a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I mean, in any relationship, you're going to have conflict, you know, and you're going to have tough days and you're going to have hard conversations.
Right.
Real relationships have tension.
Right.
You know, and to pretend that they don't, is not a good thing.
Right.
And it's not just an Old Testament, New Testament thing because, I mean, there are, you know, there are moments where, like, even the Lord Jesus said, like, I am filled with sorrow to the point of death.
Right.
You know, at one point he was so stressed out in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was sweating blood. Mm-hmm. And he's saying to God, like, I don't want this thing that's going to happen. I don't want to do it, you know? And
right.
Just that it was so obviously a wrestling, you mm-hmm. know? And, but it's like, as distressing as that may seem, it's also good because it's not some, I don't know, it's not some thin, you know, unreal relationship. It's right. not something where you're going through the motions. You don't go through the motions when you're wrestling.
Right.
Like when I was in college, my roommate Charlie and I did, we did like Taekwondo. We did the Taekwondo club mm-hmm. and we would do like we would go and do those, like the tournaments. And part of the tournament was you would spar, and they would always put me and Charlie together sparring because we just had an agreement, like, we're going to go as hard as we can. And even if we hurt each other, we're still going to be boys at the end of this. And so we would just go crazy, just try to kick each other as hard as we could, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there were only like 2 minute rounds, and you were never as tired as you were at the end of one of those rounds. Right. And it's like, this is not a lightweight relationship. This mm-hmm. is a real relationship. We're wrestling. We're going to figure this out. And I'm going to get to the, and I do love you, and I know you love me, but I'm going to be real about this, and we're going to get through this honestly. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to see, like, that I'm having the kind of relationship where I can say everything I need to say, mm. and where when I am bringing that gratitude and thanks, and sometimes thanks is a sacrifice, mm-hmm. you know, that I say thank you when I don't feel it, but that the Lord also gives me the green light to tell him, like, I feel like we're wrestling right now. I feel like you're throwing me around.
Right.
And I'm going to step back in the ring, you know?
Yeah. I feel like in relationships, the time when conflict is the worst is when it's never brought up and it's there, yeah. you know? And yeah. that's when if something's festering inside of you for a long time, it just gets stinkier and stinkier. You know, you got to clean it out. You got to clean it up. You got to air it out. And if you're not talking about it, if you're not expressing it, that was a clear picture, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, very clear. Way to go, Thomas. But like, if you're in a conflict with someone, or if you have something towards somebody and you never speak about it, then it just piles up and piles up and piles up, and then it explodes. Yeah. That was a lot of my childhood, yeah. and I don't like it anymore. It's still my go-to, yeah. but it's so good to see Job say that. It's so good to see David says that and gets the stuff out, because if not, then I'm just holding things back from God over yeah. and over and over again until, you know.
Yeah, when you see someone doing it this way, it may not be pretty, mm-mm. but it's a real relationship.
Right.
It's for real.
That's right.
Great. Well, we're glad that you guys joined us today. Today's episode has been brought to you by Cascade Ice, the Aldi version of LaCroix.
Mm-hmm. And Julie Gibbons. Julie, I'm so sorry. I read that text and I thought, that's the sweetest thing I've ever read.
And yeah, and Julie Gibbons, the leader of the Young Life Expeditions team in Spain this past summer. Way to go, Julie.
She's a champ.
And yeah, thanks for joining us, folks. As always, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.
Why am I broken? Why am I in need of such repair? Words you have spoken always seem to be so hard to hear. Lord, am I hopeless? Why does it seem like no one really cares? I'm tired of loneliness. I need someone to help me now, I'm scared. And oh, my heavy heart weighing me down. God, give me a new start, or I'll surely drown. And oh, my heavy heart weighing me down. God, give me a new start, or I'll surely drown. such repair. Words you have spoken always seem to be so hard to hear. Lord, am I hopeless? Why does it seem like no one really cares? I'm tired of loneliness. I need someone to help me now. I'm scared. Broken, why am I in need of such repair?